from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo, and we begin with Richard Clark. He is, of course, the former U.S. National Security Advisor who gained notoriety after criticizing the George W. Bush administration for the war in Iraq. He is in California to talk about cybersecurity, and he tells the California Report to forget about Russia or fake news or domestic terrorism. Clark says the biggest threat to California's security is climate change.
The chaos that will occur globally if sea level rise happens to the extent it could and with the rapidity it could, when you have millions of people who are on the move, that usually results, as we've seen in the Syrian refugee crisis, in political disruption and security problems. It also means that you're going to be spending huge amounts of money on flood control and reconstruction of infrastructure, so much so that you will not have money to continue to afford a large defense establishment like we have now.
Clark is in San Francisco for the 2017 RSA Conference, the world's leading security conference. He says to achieve cybersecurity,
that really requires some additional regulations. And the Trump government says it won't do new regulations. So states can fill that void.
And so Clark says California could do it themselves and look to New York for help. On Tuesday, that state passed a law regulating cyberspace activities that impact finance and insurance industries.
California is such a big economy and such a big state that when you make regulations like that, they are, in effect, national regulations. And I think California's government and the state legislature has shown a willingness to realize that regulations aren't all bad and to pass them at the state level. And that kind of leadership is necessary now when Washington just isn't working.
That's Richard Clark, former U.S. National Security Advisor, talking to the California Report in San Francisco. Let's turn now to Washington, D.C., where today marks the last day of business in the House of Representatives before a week-long recess. Now, these recesses traditionally serve as a chance for members to meet with constituents in their districts. But many California representatives still have no plans to hold town halls or community meetings. For more on this, we're going to turn now to Guy Marzorati from KQED's Politics and Government Desk. Good morning, Guy.
Good morning.
Traditionally, what purpose, what function do these town halls serve?
Well, I think the traditional schoolhouse rock version of this is basically this is a chance for Congress members to come home. They have a week in their district, meet with constituents, talk about issues important to them. But where we've really seen these town halls work effectively in the past are when constituents are extremely angry about something. You remember the early days of the Obama administration, these town halls
were... The Tea Parties.
Yes, yeah. These town halls were used... you know, a lot of constituents went to Democratic Congress members and complained about the Affordable Care Act. And I think now we might be seeing a turn in that where constituents are have been showing up at Republican town halls concerned about the repeal of Obamacare.
So that's one instance of why people are avoiding this. Is this really only health care, or are there other things going on that are keeping people, or I should say, that are keeping Congress people from having these town halls?
I think it's a general anger at the president. You saw the town hall in Utah that Representative Jason Chaffetz had, people yelling at him to investigate Trump. And here in California, Tom McClintock held the town hall. He had to be escorted out of the town hall by police. So, you know, a representative getting the Cersei Lannister treatment for Game of Thrones fans in his own district. I think that's why we're seeing dozens of California representatives choosing not to meet with their constituents over this next week.
Now, your TV reference points this morning are on point, Kate.
I just wonder.
Yeah. So with this in mind, where do they go from here? If they're not willing to meet with constituents, what's the road forward for congressional members trying to connect with their community?
Well, I think
is it even possible? As that question was coming out of my mouth, I was thinking, how can Congress serve people they're not willing to meet with?
I think in some of these cases, the Congress members might opt for a less confrontational way of meeting with constituents. We've seen folks like Daryl Issa set up telephone town halls. Now, the flip side of that is these aren't really user-friendly. These are town halls where the congressman's office will contact constituents when the town hall is about to begin. So if you're in the middle of cooking dinner or picking your kids up, too bad. I think that gives less of a chance for organized protests like we've seen with the Indivisible Movement to organize and set a time where people are supposed to show up and confront Congress members.
So finally, who in particular is not holding any town halls?
Well, I think interestingly enough, we're seeing a lot of Republicans in really close districts choosing not to meet with constituents over this next week. I'm looking specifically in Orange County, where we have multiple Republican Congress members who barely edged out victories this past election. They are in districts where Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump. I'm thinking of Daryl Issa, Dana Rohrabacher, these Orange County Republicans who are choosing not to meet with their constituents over the next week.
And of course, for many years, Orange County was reliably conservative. We're starting to see those demographics change. What is not changing is KQED's Guy Marzorati's on-point analysis. Guy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Support for the California Report comes from the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children and youth at risk. Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction, together building greatness. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Well, we began this week in Oroville, where officials were worried about water flooding the ground. And we end the week with those same officials turning their heads to the sky, trying to determine how much more water will fall. Their concern is new storms arriving today. Storms that could bring more water into the damaged flood control system at the dam. Authorities say they don't expect the storm to pose a threat, but they're cautioning people to be ready to evacuate if necessary and to have a plan for where to go. We'll keep you updated on the California Report on Monday. In the meantime, be safe out there. And that's the California Report for Friday, February 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, with additional help from Howard Gelman and Seal Muller. Special thanks to Guy Marzorati, Polly Stryker, and Sarah Craig. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great weekend.